What is up, young adults? Thanks for tuning in today. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Also, follow us at YA_PowerOfLove. And as always, thanks for tuning in.
Because this year was amazing. And we have one more day. Georgia kept saying 3 days, but we have one more day. But God is not finished yet. He has tonight, he has tomorrow, and y'all are here, and y'all are going to be blessed with the word. So if you will, just say hi to someone, and you may be seated. I have to stand up here because I have to look at everybody. I want to say hi to, where are my friends? From San Antonio. We have some friends that came all the way from San Antonio. And we have actually another group of people that are from San Antonio, right? Yeah. Where's your brother? Is he here too? He's in the bathroom. Okay, well, her brother's in the bathroom, but he's here. So we have people traveling all the way from San Antonio to come and hear the word of God tonight, to come and get filled with the fire of God wherever they're going back to. And that's what we believe here at the Young Adults, that we're the Houston Young Adults, but we believe that this place, this ministry is not just going to impact the Power of Love Church. It's not going to just impact Houston, Texas, but it's going to impact all of Texas and even the United States of America. And y'all are a part of that. And that's exciting. So I'm happy that y'all are here tonight. I have a word for you, and I know it's going to bless you because it's God's word. It's not my word. It's God's word. And so if y'all don't know me, my name is Courtney Garcia. That was my husband who was talking earlier. I want to meet y'all after. I know there's a lot of new faces, and I'm excited about that. But I want to meet y'all after, but I just want to introduce myself as well. God has been doing so much in this ministry this past year. It's been amazing. And I'm in awe. I'm in awe of what God did this past year. And I'm so expectant to see even more next year in 2023. It's not done. It's just getting started. And I'm blessed to be among great young adults who want to see the glory of God in their lives. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the glorious life that God has for you. We're going to talk about God's glory in your life. So I want to go to Habakkuk 2, verse 14 to start. Habakkuk 2, verse 14. It says, "The time is coming when the earth shall be filled," say filled, "with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters covered the sea." There's a time coming in the earth when the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord on the earth. And that word knowledge, in other translations, that word knowledge means awareness or recognition. So what the Lord is revealing to us here is as we're approaching, we know Jesus is coming back. He came once, but there's a second coming of Christ. And as we're approaching that day, God tells us, he reveals to us in his word that we are going to be stepping in more and more into the days when the earth is going to be filled with the glory of God. Just like waters, they might be shallow, but once you fill up a cup, it gets more and more and more until that cup is full to the overflow. And as we approach that day that Jesus is coming, we're going to see the earth filled with God's glory. And it's the knowledge, it's the awareness. And what happens really is that the world is starting to become more aware of the glory of God. They're not going to be able to say, well, that's just man. They're going to be able to say, that's God. And that is what we're seeing more and more as we're approaching that day. People in the world are going to become more aware. They're going to be able to recognize the difference between what is of God and what is of man. I feel like that's been like something I've been on this whole year, is there's truly a difference between if you serve God and if you serve the world. We're heading we're heading toward those days and we're in those days, but it's becoming more and more clear who truly serves God and who truly serves the world. Just like COVID was just one thing that came through, we're going to see more of things like that that really show where people are. But it's the glory of the Lord that distinguishes you as being on God's winning side. So his glory will be seen through his children. That's us. That's you and that's me. It will be seen through man and women. It will be seen of all ages. That's including the young adults. And it's also going to be including those that are older than 35, the old people. Okay, it's old and young, but the glory of God is seen through God's people. Isaiah 43, verse 7 says, "Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them." So this verse is God speaking. He says that bring all those who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. You and me, we are created to showcase God on the earth. That's our purpose. That's the purpose why God created us, was to bring him glory in our lives. And just like that first verse I read, we have a role, we have an assignment, and we have a task on the earth. We have something to contribute to our generation. Every single one of you was born with this purpose, and we all have a contribution to this filling of the earth with his glory. I have a part to play to fill the earth with his glory, and you have a part to play to fill the earth with his glory. Our lives should fill the earth with the awareness of the glory of God. So first and foremost, I'm talking about the glory of God, but you might be a little bit like, what is the glory of God? The glory of God in a believer's life is the visible manifestation of God's presence in your life. The glory of God is God putting himself on display in the earth. It's God putting himself on display through you in the world. And the glory of God is tangible evidence of God in your life that brings him honor and not honor to man. And that's what God wants us to understand. Our purpose is to bring him glory. Our purpose is to be the ones that are filling the earth with the glory of God. We all have that part to play. When you serve the living God, everybody should know that you serve the living God. It should be evident. There should be evidence in your life that you serve the living God. The world should know. The devil should know. The church should know. All will know that you serve the living God by your life. And that's our responsibility. It has to be evident in our life because our life is displaying the greatness of the God that you have come to know. The thing that you come to know about God is the aspect of God that you're gonna display to the world. Meaning, if you discover that God is your source, God is gonna reveal himself to you as his source, and he's gonna be a source to you in the world. And people are gonna see that God is that person's source. If he's revealed himself to you as the healer, you're gonna experience God the healer in your life, and people will see that God is a healer through your life, and that brings him glory. So we can read about examples all over the Bible about the glory of God in a person's life, because that's all you'll find in the Bible. But one story that when I was meditating on this came to mind about an example of the glory of God is in the life of Moses. We can read, I was reading just like the whole story of Moses and how God called Moses and then he told him to go to Pharaoh to let God's people leave out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage, into what God has for them, which is the glorious life, the life of total dependence on God. God was going to use one person, Moses, to bring glory not only to his own life, but also to the whole nation of Israel. And so the story of Moses can be found in Exodus. And what God started to do was he was performing great acts and great miracles. There was the plagues. We've all heard about the different plagues in the Bible. I'm not going to go through them all, but there was plagues that God was doing. It was basically to show God's great power and his manifestation of glory to all of Egypt, to the whole world, so that they would know that Moses and these people serve a living God. And what we see here is in Exodus 8, verse 19, it got to a point where the magicians recognized and became aware of the glory of God on Moses' life. And they point to the plague. They pointed to the power. They pointed to the miracle that Moses had just performed by the power of God. And they said, this is the finger of God. The world, which was Egypt, is a representation of Egypt that was keeping God's people in bondage, pointed to the work of God, and they said, that is God. I can tell that's God. I can't explain it any other way, but it was the glory of God. And the way that we can know that was there was three plagues. So they said this on plague three. Plague one, the magicians came out and they did the same thing that Moses did by the power of God. God did the work, but the magicians were able to replicate it. They were able to copy what they did, and they did it, and they said, well, we can do that. Plague number two, they did the same thing. Moses performed the plague. They were in awe. It caused destruction upon the land, and the magicians were able to copy it as well. They were able to keep up with what Moses was doing, so they weren't going to give God credit for it. But it wasn't until plague three. Say plague three. And there's levels of the glory of God. Level one, level two, level three, level four. I mean, I think there was 9 plagues, right? 9 or 10. But there was levels. I'm not saying that this level 9 glory. There's probably like infinity glory of God. But I'm saying that there's levels. And it got to point level three or plague three. And it was then that they were not able to do what God did. They got to the point where they said, we can't do that. We can't replicate it. We cannot master what they did. And I don't know about y'all, but maybe when you got saved or something, you know, you get saved and you're starting to go into the things of God, and it might just look like you're now able to do things that you weren't able to do, but you know for sure God did this in my life, but then the world, they're not impressed with it. I can do that. I can copy that. I can replicate that. But then you get to a point in God where that glory that he's working in you, because you're allowing God to do a thing in your life, that the world becomes astounded because they can't keep up with what you're doing. They can't do what you're doing. And it becomes clear and they become aware that that is God. And that person serves a living God who's alive. They become aware at that moment. And that is what we're reaching for. Not just this casual life that is good and I'm happy. I'm doing things that I can do. But it is to display God in a glorious way in your life. God will take you to that place. And there's things we have to yield. We're going to talk about that. But there's a glory that God has and desires to display through your life. And it takes knowing I'm a vessel made, created, designed to give God glory. And I'm gonna be used. I'm not gonna settle for mediocrity. I'm not gonna be normal. I'm not gonna blend in with the world. I'm gonna stand out for God, for his glory. And he will be glorified in my life. Thank you, Jesus. They hit their max. The magicians, they were limited. They got to a point where They couldn't cross the boundary. There was something, they were stuck. They couldn't go any further. But God can take you to levels in life that the natural man cannot go. And there's a group of young adults here tonight that God is going to take you to levels that you didn't even believe are even possible because you are here tonight and receiving what God has for you. If that's you, say hallelujah. 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 They saw the work of God and they admitted, I can't do it. They couldn't keep up. The world, they can try, they can toil, they can labor unto weariness, but they can never grow and go and increase to the level that only God can take you. There are things that God wants to do in your life. We must know and we must decide that I will allow him to do it through me. I'm gonna be a vessel. We have to decide because it's a choice. There's a lot of people that will settle, like I said, they'll stay in a place and they won't let God show forth his glory. They won't let God fulfill his purpose in their life because they're okay with staying where they're at. But when you discover why you've been created is to display this glory, I don't know about you, I want in. I'm gonna make that decision. I'm gonna make it daily. I will choose life and I will not choose death. If you've chosen that, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's up to you if you will see the glory of God in your life. And you are the one to determine the level of glory that you see in your life. Amen. So I'm gonna give you a few keys. I'm gonna give you three keys. There's probably more. I'm gonna give you three keys that will guarantee that you are gonna live a glorious life. Three keys that will ensure that you're gonna live a life from glory to glory for the glory of God. I feel like that's what we've been talking about, even at Sunday morning service, just letting God take you from one degree of glory to the next degree of glory. We're gonna talk about three keys. The first key, in order to see the glory of God in your life, is you have to have a faith and an expectation in the Almighty God, in the living God that you serve. You must have faith. You must believe that God can produce this glory in your life. You must expect that God, the Almighty God, will produce this glory in your life. And he does that, and you do that, by building your belief in God that there is no one like the God that you serve. In Isaiah 46, verse 9, God says, remember the things that I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God, and there is none like me. Isaiah 43, verse 10 and 11. But you are my witnesses, O Israel, says the Lord. You are my servant. You have been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There has never been, there never has been, and there never will be. I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. You have to have faith that God's going to be the one to produce glory in your life. You've got to be so set that there is no one like God. That he can't, the things that God can do, no one else can do. There's no rival to God. It's like that song, no rival, he has no equal, he's matchless. When you put God up against anything or anyone, he's incomparable to that thing. And he is the King of glory. I love this psalm. It's the David, the psalmist said, who is this King of glory? Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord God Almighty. That's the Lord that we have to believe. There is no one like my God, and I put my faith in him to see glory in my life. We also need to develop a trust in God and him alone. Develop a trust in God and God alone. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. This is so good. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength, and they turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like a stunted, saying all these words because it's like, oh, I don't want that. They are like a stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for their future. They will live in a barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made, because it's a decision, I have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. It starts off and it reveals what happens to those that trust not in God. They trust in humans. They trust in the strength and the flesh of man. They put their reliance away from God. And what does it say? It says in that first verse, 5, it says they turn their hearts away from the Lord. This is when you're blessed, you trust him, your heart is turned towards him, but cursed is the one who turns to man. Their heart's not turned to the Lord. Their heart is turned to God. The Bible says that God is looking to and fro throughout the whole earth to see whose hearts are turned towards them, him. It says, I don't know where it is. I think it's in Chronicles, first or second Chronicles, but it says he's looking to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong to those whose hearts are turned towards him. If your heart is not turned towards him because you're trusting and relying on something other than God, you cut yourself off from seeing the glory of God in your life. He cannot show himself strong through your life when you are turned elsewhere in trust and reliance. When you are fully turned towards him, he can display his glory in your life because he is the one you are trusting in only. And it also said, blessed is the man who has trusted in the Lord, for he has made the Lord his hope and his confidence. We have to become confident that God is the strongest, the wisest, the biggest, the mightiest, the greatest. Without God, I will not have the best in life. Without him, I will not see the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25. Sweater. Okay. It says, 1 Corinthians 1, the foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest. I love that. God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Skipping to verse 27. Instead, God chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they're wise. God chose the things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things that are counted as nothing at all, and he used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. And as a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. If God's gonna work gloriously in your life, it's not going to be a result of something that you're doing that the world has recommended you to do. It's going to be outside of the bounds of what the world considers wise, what the world considers strong. Sorry. Tickle in the throat, okay? It's not going to be a result of you doing something the world tells you to do, but something that the world has called foolish or unwise. It's not going to be anything that man will take credit for. The world wants to take credit. It was this. Well, it was this. It was this that has accomplished this. But anything that's of God and God brings glory to, man's not involved in it at all. It's not wise. A lot of the times, the things that the Lord will ask you to do to see the glory of God in your life, the world is gonna think it's absurd. In that same scripture, it's the things that the world boasts in, that they claim as high and mighty, God's ways baffle and confuse the wise, because that's what it ends up as. How did that happen? How did you do that? It confuses them. It's baffling to them. They can't wrap their mind around it, because this is the way it's done in the world. But when God comes and the glory of God is seen upon your life, it becomes a confusion to the world. It's out of their realm of possibilities, because they're here. But where God is, it's high. He's wise. Psalm 20, verse 7 say, some boast in chariots, some in horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord. And that's us. And we see that all throughout scripture. God told Gideon, there's a story in the Old Testament in Judges. God told Gideon to only take 300 men to go and wage war. They had a huge army. He said, send those people away. Send those people away. They did another cut where they were just cutting people left and right, because God didn't want the men in that army to ever say it was me. God didn't want them to attribute and boast in the strength of their army. It was to be God, and the glory was to go to him and him alone. If God's going to do anything glorious in your life, you have to be set that I'm going to do it God's way. And it's going to look crazy to the world. It's not going to line up with what is wise with the world. The foolish plans of God, according to the world, are the wisest. They're wiser than the wise. The strongest of plans of God are the weakest to the world. Just like David, he walked up, he had no armor, but he was confident in the God that he knew. He went up to the giant. He didn't have any armor. He didn't have the strongest armor. He didn't have a big army backing him up. He knew God had a victory for him, and he walked up in confidence. And if the Philistines knew what they were up against, the God, and they were mocking God, they were mocking the power that David was boasting in, they wouldn't have come up against the God that David knew. But David knew. David knew. My strength and my power come from God. And because of that, he gave God much glory. He knew what was on. He knew that God was on his side. And then one more thing, faith and expectation in the Almighty God. We need to be expectant to see the glory of God in our life. We need to expect God, and we need to trust him to manifest his glory. If we don't have an expectation of God doing glorious things in our life, we won't see God's glory in our life. We have to be confident. We have to believe. We have to be confident. We have to trust in him and him alone. And then we have to expect God to show forth his glory in our lives. Philippians 1 verse 20. I eagerly expect, this is Paul, I eagerly expect and I hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or whether by death. If I'm gonna trust God to do it his way, to show forth his glory, just like Paul said here, we have to be so convinced. We have to eagerly expect. We have to be so hopeful in God that he will never, never, ever put me to shame. If I go with God's way, which looks crazy to the world, but it's wise to God, I have to know God is not going to put his name to shame. He will not put you to shame. Because of that, he was able to live a life, no matter what, glorifying Christ. He was eagerly expecting that I will never be put to shame. If I'm going to show forth God's glory in my life, it might for one moment look like I'm on the losing side. It might for one moment look like I'm the one in defeat, like it's not going to work, like it's not going to happen the way that God said it's going to happen. But in a matter of time, God's going to show forth his glory, and he's going to confound the wise of the world. I love it in the TPT version. I'm not a big TPT person, but this, we have to read in this version. Philippians 1:20 in the TPT. no matter what, I will continue to hope and passionately cling to Christ so that he will be openly revealed through me before everyone's eyes. So I will not be put to shame. In my life or in my death, Christ will be magnified in me. I got that scripture in me, and I'm going to share a testimony in a little bit, but I got that scripture in me a couple years ago, and it birthed the glory of God. Because what it does, what the word of God does in you, is that hope that he had becomes your hope. That expectation that Paul has from the word, from God, becomes your expectation. And you begin to declare, no matter what, whether I live, whether I die, I've decided, I've made up my mind, and I have an expectation that Christ Jesus will be magnified in this body of mine. That has to be your heart. It has to be in you. And if you're not there yet, you can get there by the word of God. But it must be in you to see God's glory in your life, that there's no other way. I will see the glory of God in my life. Whether I die, I'm going to see God's glory. Whether I live, Christ will be magnified in this body of mine, no matter what. You get to that point, and it's a confidence. It's a faith where I'm not having it any other way. I feel like I've been saying this, and it's really because it's been in my spirit. But it's like, if anyone is going to see the glory of God in their life, it's gonna be me. You gotta get that in your spirit. I will see the glory of God. I will have Christ magnified in my life. And Sink said it first, but I'm saying it now. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's gonna be me. Amen. So, That was point one. We must have faith, trust, confidence, and expectation that God is able to keep his covenant. He is able to perform what he promised to you. And he will manifest his glory in our lives. We must have faith and expect that we're going to see that no matter what. And like I said, it's a choice you make. The life of faith is a choice. You decide, I'm going to live by faith, because there is another way. It's the world's way. It's my ideas. It's the world's way. It's me going this way because it's just easy. But the life of glory is attached to the life of faith. So if you want to see the glory of God in your life, you have to live by faith in God. You have to have expectation. You have to be confident in the God that you serve in order for him to manifest his glory in your life. Number two, keys to guarantee a life of glory to glory. Dying to yourself. We must die to ourselves. If you want to see the glory of God in your life, you must be committed to be stripped of yourself. You must be committed to be stripped of your flesh, of anything that's going to steal the glory of God, glory from God. Anything that's going to try and rise up and take the credit for the work of God in your life. That stuff has to come off of you. We see that with the example of Jesus. Let's go to Philippians 2, verse 5 in the Amplified Classic. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Dying to self is humility. It's consecrating yourself to God and giving him all of yourself to him. It's the humble mind of Christ. Let Christ be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, he possessed the fullness of the attributes which make God God. He did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. Verse 7, but stripped himself. That's what they're talking about, Jesus. Jesus stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant or a slave. In that he became like man and he was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further. He carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because he stooped so low, because he stripped himself, he emptied himself in the, I think the ESV says he emptied himself. That's another word for stripped. He emptied himself so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Christ is our example in dying to self, to see the glory of God in his life. Without you being emptied or stripped, God cannot fill your life with his glory. If you're not empty, if you're full of glory of self or self stuff, he's not able to fill you with his glory. Without you being humbled, God cannot exalt you. If you're gonna exalt yourself, God's not able to do it and produce glory. It's gonna be your glory. But if you can humble yourself, God can exalt you with his glory. Without you submitting in obedience to do your part, God is unable to perform his part in your life. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10. It says, always carrying about in the body the liability and exposure to the same putting to death that the Lord Jesus suffered, so that the resurrection life of Christ also may be shown forth by and in your bodies. I'll say it one more time. Always carrying about in your body the liability and the exposure to the same putting to death that the Lord Jesus suffered, the same dying to self that Jesus suffered, so that the life of Christ can be shown forth and displayed and revealed in your life and in your body. In order for God's glory to be released in your life, we have to put to death all of ourself, all of our flesh in our lives. Everything that's of us must die. Just the Bible talks about how we were crucified with Christ. Georgia kind of talked about that a little bit during the offering, but we were crucified with Christ. When Christ died, we died with him. Our old life died, our old nature, our old desires, everything about us that was leading us toward our own way without God died. We have to keep that life dead. We have to keep that self dead in us. But the reason is that in your dying to yourself, to your flesh, to everything that's of you, Christ can be released in your life. The resurrection life of Christ, the glory of God can be released in your life as you die to yourself, so that Christ can be revealed and released within us. This is a place where a lot of us or a lot of people will hold themselves back and they will not let God do what God can do. It's a place where they won't die to self. There's a seed that God has you to sow, but that's the seed that's the open door to the glory of God in your life. But people won't die to that seed. It's that job that they won't let go of. It's that relationship that they won't give up. It's that unwillingness to not press in or to seek God and to get what they need from the Lord, to see God's glory in their life. It's this dying to self that many people will get stuck on. Georgia kind of talked about that during the, it's you, it's not the enemy. The enemy has no power, he has no authority. It's the self that must be put down so that Christ's life can be released. And that life of Christ is a glorious life. What he will do when he's released out of you is glorious. And people will get stuck here, but be careful. Be careful to not limit and cap God off because of this unwillingness to die to our dependence of ourself. It's this emptying of ourselves, like stripping, that we're an empty vessel for God to put his glory into for the world to see. It's that place where it's really connecting us to that first step. where if we're trusting and putting all of our dependence and faith and trust in God, I've got to get myself out of the equation. If I'm going to see a testimony in my life, I'm not going to be attached to it. I'm like, okay, that's the testimony. I'm like out the door on the corner. I'm not in it. God did it. And we have to understand that I'm not even there. Does that make sense? I'm not there. Like, I'm empty. It's God. And he gets all the glory because I didn't have a part in it other than I did what he said. I was obedient. I humbled myself and I let God do it in my life. Bring your glory through me. Put yourself in that place where you are stripped and emptied, that truly, if God can't do it for me, I'm not going to have it. That's what Bishop David Oyedepo says. If God can't do it for me, may it remain undone. Why am I going to go and depend on myself, strive in the flesh, do it the world's way to get something that's not going to bring glory to God? I don't know about you, but my life, where I got redeemed from, I was redeemed from that life of doing things for yourself and working and making this life for yourself that seems glorious, but you did it. But God can take you to places that only God can do in your life. And for me to be a display, listen, there's things in this world, everyone can get a job. Is it glorious? Everyone can get a house. Everyone can have children. Everyone can get a car these days. But if it's going to be glorious to God, make it glorious. Don't settle for doing it the world's way and it looking like the world can do it. Let God show himself in your life. And I love it because I can go around my house and when I thank the Lord, the next thing I'll talk about is going to make more sense, but I can go around my house and I can point to things. That was God. That was God. That was God. God did that. God did that. God did that. Everything in my life is attached to the glory of God. God did it for me. My marriage, the ring, the house, the test, the home, everything. Everything is of God. And you have to make that decision. I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm going to strip and empty myself so that God can be glorified in my life. Put yourself in that place where you're totally dependent on him. That might mean sowing an extravagant seed. That's part of the testimony I'm going to share. It might mean giving up that job. It might mean giving up that relationship. Whatever it is, strip yourself and let God do something glorious in your life. Number three, praise. And the third key and secret to a life of glory is praise in your life. Praise is a powerful secret weapon to see the glory of God in your life continuously. Praise launches you into a life with endless testimonies, countless turnarounds, and continual victories. I'm going to say that again. Praise launches you into a life with endless testimonies. Testimonies in your life for a believer that points to God will be endless. You're not just going to have one testimony. You're going to have many. And you're going to be able to tell it for the glory of God. Countless turnarounds. God will turn things around your life by your praise. That's like when I discovered what I'm going to share about praise, I'm glad I learned at a young age because the weapon of praise is powerful. God will do stuff quickly in your life. He'll turn things around and he'll give you a life of continual victories. When you declare God's glory by praising him, his glory is released into your life. Psalm 71:8 says, "My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long." That's the lifestyle of praise. Having your life and your day filled with praise fills your life with God's glory all day long. Psalm 22, verse 3, it says, "But thou art holy, O Lord, that inhabitest the praises of Israel." It says that God inhabits the praises of his people. He dwells in. He comes into the midst of your praise. The quickest way that you can come into the presence of God is through your praise. It says, enter into his presence, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and praise. If you want to get into the presence of God, you enter in by praising him. Sometimes it's sacrificially. You might not feel like praising. You might not feel like opening your mouth and giving God glory because you found yourself in a dark place, a confused place, a place where you don't know where to go. But that's the place where you can go into his presence, and that's where God turns things around in his presence. He shows you what to do. He comes into the midst of our praise. When God is there, the glory of God is there. Because God's glory is his presence. It is him coming down. When God is there through your praise, the King of glory enters the scene. And just like I said, he does a quick work. If you want to see God do a quick work, if you need God to do a quick work in your life, if you need God to do a glorious thing in your life, you need to use the weapon of praise. I have so many testimonies of how my praise has turned things around in my life. When your prayers seem like they're not working, it's time to engage in powerful praise to God. It's time to start praising him. When your prayers have only brought you so far, it's time to kick in praise, to see the glory of God in your life. There's a couple of ways that we praise him. We praise him for the things that he has done. We praise him in remembrance of the things that he has done in the past. And the second thing is, we praise him for the things that he has not done yet, but he's gonna do. We praise him because according to the word, I know that he will do it. He hasn't done it yet, but he will do it. And I praise him because his word says this, and so I know God's gonna do it. And so I praise him on credit, which means I pray him and praise him in advance because I know that God is going to do this for me. We praise him in those ways. God will use the things that he has done in the past, and he actually expects you to recall these things that he's done in the past to bring you to future glory in your life. There's that story where the disciples are on... they're in a boat, and it went chaotic. There was a storm. There was waves. They were about to die. And what happened was they freaked out and panicked, but it says that they failed the test. They failed the test, and what it said was that they failed to remember what God had just done, like hours before. Hours before, Jesus multiplied 2 loaves and 5 fish to thousands of people. And they all fed, and there were 12 baskets left over. They failed to remember what God just did. And they failed the test. And they were in chaos, and they were in disarray. They didn't need to be. If they just knew and remembered that the same God that did that is the same God that will get me through this storm, then they didn't have to go through this trauma, this drama. But if they would have just turned their praise on and remembered and thanked God, he was expecting them to do that. And he even told them, you're like, I'm like, come on, please. Like, I'm waiting for you to remember what I've already done. He's waiting. God uses the things that he has done in the past, and he expects you to remember and recall his former glory. And what that does is it builds your faith for future and greater glory in your life. When you recall and remember what he's done, it builds you with faith. God's going to do it again for me. In John 11, in the Message translation, verse 14, this is the story about when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He was away, but for 4 days, he stayed away, even though he knew Lazarus was sick. Lazarus died, but he said, you're about to see the glory of God. And this is what he said to his disciples. Jesus became explicit. Lazarus died, and I'm glad for your sake that I wasn't there. You're about to be given new grounds for believing. Jesus said, you're about to be given new grounds to believe in me. So what God does in your life in the past sets you up for the next level for God to do in your life. And it should be greater. The testimonies of the past. That's why Georgie, a lot of people probably think Georgie shares one of the, you know, his testimony of the ring and what happened. But he recalls that. He brings it up. He remembers it. He thanks God for it. Just like for you, you remember the things that God's done. You thank the Lord for it. You recall it. You bring it to mind because it is that thing that gives you new grounds to believe you for bigger. I'm not going to believe for the same things. I'm going to believe for God to do something bigger and more glorious in my life. New grounds to believe in is I have a new platform. God did that, but guess what? He can do even more. He can do even more. And that's what Jesus was speaking about here. We have to praise him for those things in the past to bring about greater glory in the future. He's done great things. It's not in the past that he's done it. He's going to do greater things in the future that will bring greater glory in your life. And your praise is you remembering. It's expression of your faith. That not only was he faithful then, but he's going to be faithful in the future. He will do what he says when I put my confidence in him. And I praise him out of a place of understanding the power that's in my praise. So the worship team can come up. I'm going to share just a testimony of, honestly, all these things, these points about seeing the glory of God in your life. I've seen it. I've done it. It works. God wants to show forth his glory in your life. He wants you to be a display of his glory. And I remember I had a COVID story too. I have a COVID testimony. But my testimony was, it was during COVID. Everyone knows during COVID, jobs were going, like, no one was getting jobs. I lost my job during COVID. So it was a time when people were letting people go. It was not a time where they were hiring. They were calling it a hiring freeze. That means they're not hiring. We put a stop on hiring. And I lost my job in the midst of that. 2 months before that, the Lord prompted me to sow the largest seed I've ever sown. And he was preparing me for ahead. And so I sowed the largest seed. It was clearing on my bank account at the time. So we're going into a time where it's a lot of unknowns. COVID was obviously crazy. You don't know what's going to happen the next day. But it was, I sowed that seed. I sowed it in faith. I sowed it in confidence. I obeyed the Lord. I stripped myself. Literally. I was empty. My bank account was empty. And at that time, and I lost my job, they gave me word that I wasn't going to be coming back, and I lost it. But I knew I had confidence in the Lord. I knew, wow, this is the perfect setup for God's glory. I was stripped of my bank account. I was by myself. Like, I was living by myself at the time. And everyone was not hiring people. They were firing people, which was me. And I needed a job, I needed an income, I needed God to show himself, and I knew he was my source, I knew he was my provider, but I had a job, but I was stripped of my job. I didn't have that coming in. And so this was my opportunity, and am I, like George said, am I going to believe God, or am I going to panic and go home? Because I'm not from here. I can go home to my mom's house and live with her. I literally could have done that, but I didn't tell anybody. I didn't call my mom, I didn't call my dad. I got before the Lord. I ran to God, and I sought him. I had to figure out what I was going to do. I put my faith in him. I believed in him. I trusted him. I expected that I was going to see the glory of God in my life. I reached out to people, obviously, but what my prayer, my petition before the Lord is, God, I know if I'm in this situation, this is for your glory. I was praying for that. Do something in my life. Show forth your glory. That was that scripture that I read earlier, the Philippians 1:20. No matter what, whether I die, whether I live, Christ will be magnified in this body of mine. That was getting so in me. I wanted God to show forth his glory. And I stripped myself. I gave up everything. And I was empty. But God will be magnified. I will not be put to shame. I was confident in the God that I served. And I had nothing. I had nothing, okay? Anyway, I didn't want anybody to take credit for it. I didn't want anybody to get the glory. I didn't want anyone to say, well, I got her that job. I gave her the hookup. I knew this person, blah, blah, blah. And so the way that God did it was exactly the way that I believed him for. And it's something supernaturally. So I lost my job on Friday. That next Monday, something happened where I got an email, and it was supernatural, and I didn't even have to interview. It was the easiest thing that happened. But before that, it wasn't finalized. But I had a praise in my spirit. I had that confidence. I had the word from the Lord. But what ended up happening was praise came forth. And I started just praising God. I wasn't worried. I wasn't in disarray. I was remembering that God brought me here to Houston, that he called me here, that he literally took me out from my family to bring me and plant me here in this church to be here now in Houston, Texas. I wasn't going to go home. He brought me here. He was going to see to it that I was going to fulfill everything that he called me to do. So I trusted him, and I had a praise that came out of my spirit, and I started praising God. That song, my God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. That song, I would just go around the house just praising God. My God is awesome. He's all powerful. He's all glorious. He's all wise. He can do anything. I don't need 100 jobs. I need one job. And God performed. And I thought I was going to have to go down, but the thing that I was believing God for was glorious. If I'm going to lose my job during COVID and he was going to do all this in my life, just the perfect equation for God to be glorified, God be glorified in my life. I went up 25% in salary. I was able to get a job like this. And I had my income from the job that let me go for 3 months. And then I had this income on top. So there were like 3 months of double. Wow. It made up for my seed that I sowed where I emptied myself out. Wow. By the end of the year, I had everything come back double. And now I'm making a lot more than I was in a place that I didn't want to be. Hallelujah. And I'm in a place that I love now. The glory of God. And when I shared that story too, because I had a lot of family members that lost their jobs too. And when I share that, it's glorious. Yeah. Only God could do something. But you've got to be determined, my faith, my confidence, my expectations in God. You've got to let yourself be out of the equation. God's going to do his thing, and he's going to glorify. He's going to show himself strong in your life. And then you have to praise him. That was like, I knew when I transitioned to praise, like it was like coming. It was coming, and I'm not kidding. It was like maybe the next day that I got the offer. Wow. And it was glorious. And that's the way that God works. That's just a testimony. But God does glorious things, and he wants to show. That's like nothing. Like, I know God's going to do great things. I know God, if we're living in this hour and in this time, he is going to do things where people's jaws drop. The world. And that's one of my prayers. Like, Lord, let people fall to their knees when they hear the testimonies yes. that you're going to do in my life. Let people's jaws drop, because it's inexplicable other than God. Yes. And if we're going to see that type of thing in our lives, and I know it's not just me that desires that. Like, I see the young adults here, and we're like linking arms, and we've decided, I'm going to see the glory of God in my life. It's not just me. I believe there's people here that are saying, let's do this together. And when you have a group of young adults that have decided that no matter what, I'm going to see God's glory in my life, and Christ is going to be magnified in his life, the world will be filled with the glory of God. Amen. We're going to fulfill God's purposes, and it's going to be so glorious. The world will be watching, and the world will desire what you know and what you have. Amen. And so that's my prayer for tonight, that you're leaving with a new and a fresh desire for God's glory to be in your life. You have to want it. You have to desire it. I pray that this stirred you up to say, I don't want anything than a life of glory for God. And I want you to make that quality decision that my life will bring God glory. When you decide that, you get in that place with God. You decide there's no other way. I'm going to empty myself out. I'm going to make sure that I'm not dependent on anything. That thing could be ripped out in a matter of time, just like my job, just like anything. We got to be prepared. We can't live in that way where we have half in and half out. We've got to be sold out for God and for His kingdom. And so I do want to take a few minutes to pray.
Thanks again for tuning in. Don't forget, you can always stay up to date with us and even message us on Instagram at YA_PowerOfLove. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the next one.